This is an oral history interview in the Civilian Conservation Corps project sponsored by the Arkansas Endowment for the Humanities. The date is July 24, 1982, and the place is Burns Park, North Little Rock, Arkansas. The interviewer is Irene Wassel, a staff reporter for the Arkansas Gazette. Would you state your name, please?
Harry H. Wade.
And where are you from?
Conway.
Okay. Before we get started, tell me a little about yourself, where you came from, where were you born?
I was born in Jacksonville.
Arkansas?
Jacksonville, Arkansas, and lived around Pulaski County most of the time after that. And North Little Rock, North Little Rock. Moved to town when I was about 9 years old.
Moved to town when you were about nine?
Born from Jacksonville.
From Jacksonville. You moved to town, which would be North
Little Rock.
Little Rock.
Little Rock. Uh-huh.
Who were your parents?
Mr. John Wade from mother. I mean, my father, and Jesse Wade from my mother. And maiden name was Woodford.
Were they natives of Arkansas?
Yeah. My father came from Virginia somewhere. My mother was from Arkansas.
Okay. And did you have brothers or sisters?
Yes, ma'am. I had three brothers and five sisters.
Were you?
I was next to the youngest.
Next to the youngest. So they were pretty well up and.
Well, one of them would be about 80 years old now, and my brother that died, he would be a little bit older than that, about 82 or 3.
Okay. How much education did you have when you? Sixth grade education, and you went to school.
Well, I went to school in North Little Rock and Little Rock.
What, can you name the schools that you went to?
Well, I quit in Eastside Junior High School, which was in seventh grade, but didn't complete it. And I started in Glendenning and over North Little Rock. And I went to Woodrow School over in Little Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Lee School on 13th Street.
What did you do between the time you quit school you went?
Well, just any kind of work I could get back in them days.
How old were you when you entered the CCC?
19.
Mm-hmm. And where did you learn about it?
Well, I was working at a grocery store in Pulaski Heights, and my boss at that time was pretty well up in politics, and he wouldn't got me in the CCC camp.
Was it hard to get in?
Well, it really was, because it was just a few jobs for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the first camp that was in the state of Arkansas. And they gathered on the steps of the old post office building down in Little Rock. And they took us down and put us on a train and unloaded us over in Hot Springs and put us on a bus and took us out in this big open field and showed us a big stack of hay out there and gave us a mattress. They told them to put the hay in and make us a mattress.
Well, what was your family's financial situation?
Well, my father, he owned a couple of grocery stores, and he died, and he was a carpenter contractor. But he died when I was 9 years old. So,
how did your mother make a living for you?
Well, she had grocery stores and things, and I don't know, and had some apartment houses at different times.
What, could you have worked for her, or?
No, she didn't have that big. Well, in the grocery store, I was really too young, mother. Mm-hmm. But,
so what would you say were your reasons for joining the CCC?
Well, that's just to better myself, because I was working in a grocery store, and that wasn't much of a job. Riding a bicycle for a boy 19 years old. Of course, at that time, he took anything he could get.
Now, you said you entered Crystal Springs first. Where did you have to go to sign up for that?
Well, down to part of the old post office building in Little Rock.
And what year was that?
In 1933.
So you were one of the very first.
I was one of the first 200 in Arkansas.
Uh-huh.
And
you were first stationed at Crystal Springs.
Crystal Springs, and then.
And that was in what county?
Well, it's in 18 miles west of Hot Springs. I guess you call it Garland County.
Okay.
And then got out. I stayed there 11 months, got out, and then they sent me back to Tassel Spring, or Push Mountain, some people call it, and that's close to Calico Rock. And then not only that's not in order, but over in Walcott, which is over close to Hoxie on Crawley's Ridge, and Fair Park in Little Rock, and Locke is up close to Mountainburg, and then I went to Sagahatchee, which is close to Marlton, then I went to Barrowville, then I went to Walcott, and then to Ashdown, and then from there I went to the floating camp down to St. Charles, then to the land camp, and then I got out in about 1940. And I went to Cook and Baker School at the headquarter building down on, down east in Little Rock. And that was about 39.
You stayed in from 33 to 39?
Something like that. Mm-hmm.
What kind of training did you receive?
Most of the time I was in the kitchen. I wasn't in the CC camp until about...
You were in the what?
Kitchen.
Kitchen.
You see, I got married while I was at Crystal Springs, but on account of being on special duty, I had to still stay in.
And did your wife live near the camps?
Well, see, when it was possible. And I was in the CC camp about 2 months before I got acquainted with the mess sergeant, and I got to be a cook overnight. But anyway,
what kind of cook were you?
Well, I started out as second cook, and I ended up mess sergeant before I got out. And I was in mess sergeant, at Ashdown, and the two floating camp down St. Charles.
Did you do anything besides cook while you were in?
No, I never did do anything, melt anything besides cook, of course. I don't know what they call a cattery, that's a form of headquarters company. They start a new camp, and I would go there for a while and go somewhere else. Mm-hmm.
Well, what did you do when you weren't cooking?
Well, that Fair Park is about the only place I ever remember working out in the field very much. I helped build them spillways out there in Boyle Park. You know, you go out there and it looks natural, but it's not natural. Them big rocks put there by them boys in CC camp, and then trails was marched down through there until we started to walk the grass down. That's where them trails got started out there.
Well, did you drive all the way from Crystal Springs every day?
No, I lived in camp. And at that time, when I got married while I was in Crystal Springs. My wife lived in Little Rock. Of course, you wasn't supposed to have a car, but I managed to have one. And of course I had to park it away from the camp. But and I'd give me a load of boys and then come home on the weekend. And I think at that time a round trip from Crystal Springs to Little Rock was about $1.50. For the transit, of course I more than bought my gas and stuff, kept my car up. Because I didn't have much car, I had a 29 Model A Ford Roadster, which in 33 it wasn't
that such was a pretty good car, wasn't
uh-huh.
it? If you had one at all, that was probably a pretty good.
Well, he wasn't really supposed to have one, but being out on special duty, I guess the commanding officer turned his head a little bit because I parked it away from the camp. But you know, rumor gets started, and it gets back to him without a doubt.
Well, do you think a lot of regulations were broken that you didn't get?
Well, not anything amount to anything, because they were pretty strict on you. But you see, I don't see yet where that was hurting anything, me having a car. Of course, you wasn't supposed to be financially able to have one, but I managed to keep it up off the transportation back and forth to Little Rock off what I got off the board. Because the car didn't cost me $22 and a half.
I suppose gasoline wasn't very expensive then.
No, about 15, 20 cents a gallon.
Well, what would they have done to you if they...
Discharge.
Would they have?
Well, I guess they would, or they never did say anything. But I figured they knew it, but they didn't say it. I don't see anything wrong with it. Just everybody had a car, I guess it would have been different, but it was very few that could manage around to get it. I just called it good management getting one.
Did the camps you were in have educational opportunities?
Well, they all had educational advisors.
They have classes?
They had classes. I've seen boys in there that couldn't read and write. And I remember one boy at Walcott, he'd have a package of Bull Durham, and wherever you see him, he'd try and learn how to read on that. And, some of the ones that really wanted to learn.
Did they learn?
There was always an opportunity, because their educational advisors, they was certified teachers, you know, they had their diploma and everything, and just like everything else, that the CC camp, they had first class stuff.
Mm-hmm. Did you take any courses?
Well, I went over to education. I didn't take hand building and, you know, study some, but I didn't really take any courses, not anything.
Do you remember what the courses were that they offered?
Well, if you want to read and write, you could take that. Of course, they didn't have no engineer course or anything like that, but they just plain everyday schooling.
Mm-hmm. What kind of recreational facilities did they have?
Well, they had some baseball fields and a horseshoe game. I remember pitching that, and well, just any kind of little game like that.
Do they have competition?
Well, I don't remember the competition, only among the sales.
They didn't choose up sides and play in other camps?
Well, they would among them. No, the other camps, well, I don't remember that. Mm-hmm.
Did you have enough time to participate in the recreational facility
well,
since you were married most of the time?
Well, I guess I would have, but I didn't. So, as mess sergeant and the cook, so you worked there the other day as a cook and mess sergeant. Well, you're supposed to be there at all three meals, but in between times you had your menu and everything figured out. Well, you had some spare time.
What did you do in your spare time?
Well, most of the time just hang around camp and next meal, because it wasn't long enough between one meal and another.
Would you do swap stories, or?
Well, you swap stories, go over to the recreation hall, and play pool or ping pong or whatever you wanted to. And,
was there a lot of bootlegging going on, or did you ever
well,
see any of that?
I never did get know of it very much because I was married and I stayed and, you know, didn't run around very much, but that bootlegging is going to be the end of time. Yeah, but then it is now. If you got legal liability stores, you still can find bootleggers if you want them.
Describe for me what your typical day was. What did you do on a typical day?
Well, I had to be there for breakfast, see that the breakfast got out all right.
Did you, let me interrupt you to ask if you got up earlier than most of them did?
Well, the mess sergeant, I got up, as I was say, breakfast was at 7 o'clock. It'd be around sometime like that. And I'd get up there in time. Of course, the night before, I'd see that the stuff was put out for breakfast next morning, and I would get up in time to see that it was getting out on time and everything. But when I was cook, I got up and got to breakfast, you know, cooked the breakfast, and stayed there, was cleaned up at night.
You were responsible for cleaning up as well as for cooking?
Well, when I was mess sergeant, I was responsible for the kitchen, period.
Mm-hmm.
Always had a mess officer, but that was always funny to me. They'd go to these colleges and things, and I had one down in St. Charles. I wouldn't want to mention the name, but he never did make out a menu and never did figure the menu. The cost of one, I done it all, because he didn't know how.
Getting back to a typical day, what after you had breakfast, then?
Well, I'd see that the kitchen was cleaned up, and sometime during the morning, the man and officer would come around and inspect it. And then I'd have to go around and I'd carry a pad with me, and whatever he found wrong, I'd see that it was fixed. So when he'd come back next time, that it was clean the next time. And when the district inspector'd come around, I'd have to go around with them. And if I got too many gigs, well, I heard about it.
Then were the men there for lunch?
Well, most of them was out in the field, but we had big containers that would keep the food hot, and we'd send it out to them. And
can you describe those containers for me?
Well, it was just a big insulated container that had a lid on it. When it was tightened down, well, it would keep the food just as hot for several, just like a thermos bottle. It was a thermos on it. It was a large container. It would feed 40 or 50 men. Some of them would, and sometimes it'd be a man and a crew over here with 10 or 15, maybe. And
what was the material it was made of?
Well, I don't remember that. It's just, I'd call it a thermos container of some kind, what it was.
Do you remember what they were called?
No, I don't. I just call them, I don't know, like I wouldn't know what they'd call.
Okay, and then after lunch, you had some free time again until dinner time?
Well, the dinner time was, of course, now, I had to say, we allowed 35 to 40 cents a day to feed the men, and I had to keep a menu 30 days in advance. And of course, you couldn't always follow them, but you try to as close as you can, and after the meal, after the day was gone, to follow it, to make a good mark, you would change that menu around to where it would follow your form that you had sent in, so you'd get a good mark, just like you would, like you would on anything else. But you still had to stay within that 35 or 40 cents, because you know, you at home, you can't plan a meal in 30 days. You might have something left that would be cheaper to feed that seed. It would be that you were doing anything that really they would disapprove of, but to get a good mark, to make them think that you were really good, you would change it to what you fed to something that was on that menu that was supposed to be on there.
Did you send it in. Did you serve leftovers?
We'd serve it, sure. You couldn't, I don't care how hard time was, you can't feed a man on 35 cents a day. That's three meals if you didn't do something. You know, serve leftovers, and like stew, I'd save up stuff for stew. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'd feed that, whatever meal I'd feed that stew for, because that meal, it would show up on the menu that it was costing some, but actually it wasn't costing hardly anything because you done charged it out before.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to use that money for something else?
Well, it was just certain things, and of course it's just like any other rules and regulations the government got. You can kind of bend them around and make them to where you don't violate any rules, but you, the only one, now what I'm talking about, now if we had, say, $200 left over this month, we needed some utility or something for the kitchen, and we would buy it for the kitchen, but maybe you weren't supposed to spend your money for that. And well, the commanding officer would help you on this because you didn't have, see, the master sergeant didn't have the control of the money and writing the checks or nothing, because you had to have a commanding officer approve. And he would write it up, he'd write it up that we bought something that was approved, but it would be for the benefit of the kitchen, and it wouldn't, it was where it should have been.
So the main meal of the day would be the dinner hour, and then
well, you would give them a good breakfast and a good supper. Now, I said, now, not all camps sent their meals out in the field. When I was thinking about, in particular, when I was talking with St. Charles, now, I was at Locke. I was a baker at night there, and I'd bake pies or cakes or whatever it was for the next day, which wouldn't take me very long. And then I had to make sandwiches for that whole, all the men are going out. They take sandwiches at that particular camp. But it's at the land camp where I was mass starting down to, at St. Charles, we had them food containers, we sent them out in. Mm-hmm.
So, getting on with the typical day now, after supper, what would you do?
Well, after supper, and the kitchen clean up, the time was mine, do what I want to.
What did you usually do?
I would usually, if my wife would run, I'd go home.
But now, how long were you in when you got married?
Well, I was in about 7 years, I'd say about, well, let's see, the second year, less than 6 months. Because he was designed up for 6 months on a hitch. Mm-hmm. And I got to stay in the second 6 months because I was married. Mm-hmm. And I got out and I went back and I got in because I was married. So I went down and applied for work on relief, and they told me, well, you got experience in CC camp, and we got to open up here for a cook, and you cook. Well, I can make more money on that than I can at WPA. So I went back to CC camp and I stayed in until about 40.
Well, were you considered a special employee you were a cook or because you were married?
We were called as a cook. And I could have special privilege like being married and going home at night. Uh-huh. On account of being.
So, what kind of food did you cook? You told me about breakfast and lunch. What did you usually have for dinner?
Well, roast beef or steak or whatever we might want, whatever our money would allow.
You mentioned making desserts a few minutes ago. Did you make a lot of, did they have dessert every day?
Well, I can make any kind of dessert for a company man that you could make at home. Or pies or cakes or I remember we had open house down to St. Charles one time, and we had donuts for visitors. Donuts and coffee for the visitors.
And you made the donuts?
We made the donuts.
Was that usual fare if you had dessert? Or
well,
was that
we had dessert for supper or every time, some kind of dessert. It might have been bread pudding that we made out of leftover bread, which, you know, you using everything you could to feed the men as good as you could. And like the first 3 or 4 days of the month, I try to feed the cheapest stuff I could, but I mean good wholesome meals, no misunderstanding. But then the last of the month, I'd be trying to spend my money buying ice cream. But I was considered to feed pretty good in the average CC camp around.
Did you have refrigeration facilities?
Well, we had a big ice walk-in ice box, and they went to town, and then they had a company truck. They'd go to the ice house every day and get ice in 300-pound blocks. They didn't have electric refrigeration.
Well, you were 19 when you joined up. Had you ever been away from home?
Well, yes, because I had tomato, harvest, and like I say, I tried to find work any way I could. If it was tomato harvest in Texas and I knew I could get a job, I'd go.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel about being away from home in the CCC? Or were you that far away that it made that matter?
Well, I was in Arkansas. I never was over 100 miles away from home.
You know, how did you feel about it?
Well, it's just natural, I guess. Just, you know, just one of them things. It didn't bother me about getting homesick or nothing.
How did your family feel about you being in?
Well, mother, when I first got in, she thought it was a wonderful thing I could get in and have a job.
Did you correspond with your family and friends?
Well, I come back from Redwood in hardly a month. I wasn't home once or twice a month.
Did you write letters?
Well, no, I never was much on writing letters because I was home too much. But when I was off working in tomato harvest and things, I got to write letters, but CC camp, I was home.
Do you feel that the training you had in the CCC helped you after you left?
Well, I definitely believe in that.
In what way?
Well, just in general, I don't know. No, I just a typical run of a boy running out there on the street when I got in there. And when I come out, I thought I was a pretty good fellow, you know, moral and all of that.
And you got out in 39?
About 39 or 40, somewhere along there.
And then you had a couple of years before the war.
And then I started to work out at Camp Robinson then. I was cooking in a hospital at that end.
So you, are you still a cook?
No, I was a diesel mechanic when I retired. I retired 11 years ago.
How long were you a cook?
Well, just the time that I was in the CC camp, because I got out and went down to Marion Hotel and was going to get me a job. When I found out they didn't pay me but $10 a week, I told them I didn't want it.
Did you serve in the military?
No, I was in civil service out of Camp Robinson, which was about, well, I was under the military, but I was civil service.
Well, what, did you use your cooking?
I first cooked on my shift out there at Camp Robinson.
Camp Robinson. How long were you?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember the years, 3 or 4 years, something like that.
Until the war was over?
No, I quit before the war was over, but I was figuring on going, but they never called me. They had my name.
Did you have a civilian rank? Were you a, did they give you a rating?
You mean out of Camp Robinson?
Uh-huh.
Well, I was just called first cook out there. As far as that went, I don't know.
So you never really served in the military as?
No, I wouldn't have no military benefits, although I took a military man's place out there cooking. If I didn't cook, they'd have a soldier cooking, so. Mm-hmm. I considered I'd done just as much as anybody else did, because.
When did you go into you left cooking in 1944. What did you do then?
Well, I went to mechanic for City Bus Company, Little Rock, which was AP&L. I owned the bus company then. Mm-hmm. And then I retired in ABF as diesel mechanic.
Arkansas Best Freight?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
How long did you work for them?
14 years.
And what did you do? Let's see, you... 1944, you went to work for
the bus company until about 1957, and then I went and worked for the ABF, and I retired from the Teamster Union from there, see.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been retired?
11 years.
Now, and you lived in Little Rock?
Well, ever since then. Out of Conway, I had a place up on Lake Conway, and I lived up there mostly.
While you were working, or at just after retirement?
No, I lived in Little Rock most of the time. I was working outside the last for 2 or 3 years.
What did your wife do?
Well, my wife died 2 years ago. Of course, I've since got remarried, but she retired too.
Uh-huh. What, your wife who was with you at the CCC?
She died in 1980.
What was her name?
Emma.
Emma.
What Wade.
Was Emma Wade. Yeah. What was her maiden name?
Spooner. Emma Spooner.
And was she from Little Rock?
Well, she was from St. Vincent, close to Marlin.
Uh-huh. And your present wife?
Ruby McCraw, her first husband, and she worked down to Hartenheimer's and places like that. Of course, she, I don't know where he is, she's been retired a long time.
Mm-hmm. And where did you meet the wife you married while you were in the CCC camp?
Well, I met her while I was delivering groceries out in Blanche. Yeah, she was a nursemaid out there.
I see.
For one of them, well, I guess what you call for them children out there, for Sam Strauss, that's what Leo Pfeiffer on Pfeiffer's department store, his son-in-law. Her daughter and her son.
I see. Yeah. What is your opinion of what CCC has done
I think for the country, some of them roads are still back in the mountains. You know where to drive, you know them roads are still there. And I think it made a lot of people, a lot of boys, men, it turned out pretty good, you know. And, well, I don't know really how I would have turned out if I hadn't went to CC camp, because the average boy running out there on the street, they don't know what they're going to turn out to be.
Do you feel that this bill that's before Congress now to reinstate the CCC is a good
bill?
Well,
I think in a way it would do them good, yes.
Do you think it would be effective today?
Well, they talk about people today couldn't do things, the kids today can't do things, what we done back when we was coming up, but I think if they put to test, they'd do just as good as we did.
Do you think they are desperate enough today?
Well, if they got in the fix we was in, I think they would be. They would be, you take, you know, I imagine you know some kids that been in some things that straightened up pretty good.
Do you think that they're desperate enough at this point to do the hard work that had to be done?
If they were put to the test and had to, yes.
You think they would?
Because people say, well, I used to do this, and I used to do that, and I had to do this, and I don't think I could do this. Well, I was talking to a man yesterday. He said, I wondered how what the kids would do today if they had to go through what we had to go through. Well, if they were put to the test, they come through just like we did.
Some good and some bad.
Some good and some bad, that's right. And they talk about kids being any different today than it was then. Really, what I see from them, we didn't have dope around, but we had whiskey, we had home brew before it was legalized.
Did you see a lot of drinking?
Well, yeah, I didn't see a lot of it in the CC camp no more than I seen out of it. And You seen it then just like you see it now, only they're a little bit more opening with it. Now I remember, and where what I'm getting at now, you see, when I was in Crystal Springs, it was a bootlegger over Crystal Springs, that the camp was across the mountain. And there was a big spring come outside the hill, kind of a waterfall. And we went over there and we sat around that waterfall where this bootlegger, he had his own brew, and this spray cooled it off. So, what's the difference in drinking home brew? Of course, I realize dope and stuff like that is dangerous, and I hate it. But we didn't have it in them days, but if they just had whiskey and home brew today, like we bootleg whiskey and stuff, it wouldn't be any different. Of course, I hate the way some people use it.
Did you see... This is not on my list, but did you see people who did not succeed in the CCC? Did they have bad experiences too?
Well, now you asked me a question now, I don't exactly remember, but in any line of work or anything you go at, there's always somebody that can't succeed.
Do you remember any specific
incidents? I don't remember any specific thing.
I've asked you a lot of questions now. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you'd like to talk about?
Well, I don't know anything right off real. Of course, when I get home, I might think of something. Outside, I think I told you about what the kitchen did. And I never was out on the road very much. Of course, I know some of the work that went on some around the camp.
Do you have a memorable experience?
Ma'am?
Do you have a memorable experience, one that stands out more than any other?
No, not really. I don't think.
What's the funniest thing that ever happened to you?
Well, I don't know, but I remember one time I had a mess sergeant down to St. Charles' floating camp, and I was showing KP around running the sterilizer there, and I was telling him how to operate it. And I was standing in front of it, and I said, "Don't open the door like this." And I opened the door, and I scalded it in my face. I was doing what I told him not to do. And of course, my boy was born while I was in St. Charles. So, I don't know, we had a lot of memory things, like playing jokes on people and things, and giving short sheeting them and things like that. Of course, if you don't know what short sheeting is,